We will take a look at Matthew this morning. A few verses here in Matthew chapter 1. Of course, we all, you know, hear a lot about these records this time of year, of course. But there are wonderful truths here that I wanted to look at, where it speaks of the birth of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. Verse 18, we'll begin there and we'll read a little bit, because I wanted to take a look at one particular point that it makes, maybe two, in this section. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He was going to put her away and not let this become a big scandal. And in verse 20 it says, but while he thought on these things, what am I going to do? Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." You know, that which is conceived in her. She is pregnant because the Holy Spirit has done something to create this life within her. "And she shall bring forth a child, a son," verse 21 says, "and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this, verse 22, was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name," what? Jesus. Because that is what the angel told him to name that child. Jesus. That's going to be his name. I wanted to take a look this morning briefly at why that name. Why not David Jr.? Why not Samuel? Why not Isaiah? Why not Jeremiah? Why Jesus? Why? You know, naming this name didn't come from Joseph and Mary. They didn't sit down and decide, what are we going to call him? They didn't argue with the angel when the angel said, well, should you? The prophecy says Emmanuel. They'll call him Emmanuel. Who will call him Emmanuel? Well, others will call him Emmanuel. Okay, which means God is with us. Why did they call him Jesus? If we look at that word, it's a word that means Jehovah is Savior or is salvation. It's the same name in the Old Testament, Joshua. Same name. And there are a lot of similarities between Joshua and the ministry that Joshua had and what Jesus Christ had. God does not just haphazardly name his only begotten son just something off the top of his head. There was a reason why. He wanted people to understand that this man, Jesus, would have to do with our salvation. And that salvation is going to be authored by Jehovah, God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth. Look at Joshua. Let's take a look at Joshua. Okay, you'll call his name Jesus. Why? Why Joshua? In other words, you could say it was Joshua. It's the same name. It's just Jesus is the Greek equivalent to that name. Okay, it's kind of like Paul and Saul, right? The difference between Saul being his Hebrew name, Paul being his Greek name. Jesus Christ, that name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. That's what it means. It points people in the direction of where their salvation comes from. Can you save yourself? No. God needs to give you that salvation. If we look at Joshua, we see some great things in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. This is kind of a great thing to recognize. See, many people have kind of drawn the parallel between the way God brought Israel out of the wilderness, that 40-year period in the wilderness. He brings them out of Egypt, and then they're plunked there in the wilderness for 40 years before they can actually go into the promised land. What Joshua led those people into is very similar by a physical respect to what we have been led into spiritually by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Joshua chapter 1, it says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, toward the west, you know, the Mediterranean, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. These are words that God said to Joshua as he was getting ready to bring these people of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land, into that which he had promised them. And look at the encouragement that he's giving to them. He's saying, I've made these promises. I told this to Moses. It's going to happen. I'm going to bring this to pass. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Did he not say the same thing to his son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten, many, many times? Yes, he did. He encouraged him. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6 says, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Jesus Christ did those things. Joshua was encouraged to do those things. Jesus Christ did them and fulfilled them. Did Joshua fulfill them perfectly? No. He was a man just like you and me. Jesus Christ was a man just like you and I, but he fulfilled those things. He remained strong and of a good courage. He did not let anything but the Word of God proceed out of his mouth. He meditated in the Word. He knew the Scripture. He knew what pertained to him and what pertained to Israel. And he applied those things on a daily basis. And his way was very successful. Very successful. And Jesus Christ made available to us an inheritance, just like Joshua was encouraged to bring them in and divide to them their inheritance. There are great similarities between what Joshua was called to do for Israel on a physical level and what Jesus Christ has made available to you and to me. Look at John chapter 1. See, not only did Joshua bring the people from the wilderness into the promised land, but he also, by his ministry and by the things that he fulfilled in a physical respect, pointed people to look at what would be coming when the Messiah came. That one of the reasons why the angel said, name him Jesus. Name him Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. That's his name. That's his earthly name. And those things, we can look back and we can say, oh, just like Joshua. Why did God choose Joshua to bring those people into the promised land? He could have chosen, there were many capable men at the time. Many that would have answered that same calling. Why Joshua? Well, one thing, Joshua had a heart to respond. But there was something about his name. As the people looked at Joshua, what were they thinking? They were thinking, Jehovah is salvation. Just like when God looked at Abram and said, we don't like that name. We're going to name you Abraham. Why? Because Abraham means father of a multitude. Every time you say your name, you'll remember that truth that God had promised him, Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations. So he called him that. Same with Joshua. He called Joshua. This is a good man, and he's got a great name. His name means Jehovah is salvation. When people came to the Lord Jesus Christ, what were they thinking? They were thinking his name. What was it? They'd look at him and they say, Jehovah is salvation. It wasn't just something to flip off. I wonder how many people think of that now. I don't know if anyone really knows that. But we do, so we can think of that. When we call on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we recognize that he, as Messiah, has brought to pass for us Jehovah's salvation. The salvation of God is ours because of that man. In John 1, verse 17, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. Joshua brought them from that wilderness into the promised land, knowing that there's something better for them beyond the law. It was looking toward the Messiah. They would look forward to the Messiah, not just the promised land, but that Messiah that would bring even greater blessing to them. This is all the reason why they named him Jesus. You know, there is an important truth there to know and to understand. Look back at Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 again. Right in verse 8 it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, you just speak these words. You speak my word. Nothing else comes out of your mouth other than my word. The words of the law. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That you may observe to do it. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. What did Jesus Christ do? He did all the words that were written in there, that were written to him to accomplish and to do. In Hebrews chapter 10, he saw it as what it really was and understood it as what it really was. But in those things, verse 3 says, in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Talking about the sacrifices that would have to be done on a yearly basis, on a monthly basis, on a regular basis. In the Old Testament law, Jesus Christ seeing that those things pointed to him. All of those things that they did under the law pointed to him. For it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. For when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. This is not what God really was pleased with. He was not pleased with the fact that he had to have those people come to him and remember that they needed to pay for their sins every year. We got to do this again. I got to remember your sin. You got to remember your sin. I got to remember it. This is not a pleasurable thing for God, but it pointed towards something. Then, verse 7 says, said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. That's what Jesus Christ said within his heart. I see these things. I see that this is what I have been called for. This is what my purpose is. To do thy will, O God. And he had to meditate upon those things daily. He had to study those scriptures. He had to know them so that he could carry them out with faithfulness and bring to pass Jehovah's salvation. Verse 9 says it again. Verse 8, he says, when he said sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. That's not what you really wanted. Neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will. And he took away the first, that he could establish the second. This is what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did. See? He accomplished, he fulfilled. And that is all wrapped up in that name that points us back to look at Joshua and what he did for Israel. Now we see what he has done for all mankind that decide to come to him and follow him. When Joshua stood in front of the children of Israel and said, it's time to go to the promised land. You can come if you want. Follow me. They that believed him went. It's the same thing. Jesus Christ has said, you want to sit in the promised land in the heavenlies? Then you will come with me. Look back at Joshua. He says in verse 9, chapter 1, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord thy God is with thee. Jesus Christ knew that same encouragement, and he fulfilled what God had called him to do. There's a verse here that I have to find it now because I lost it. You know, there's so many great things that happened in Joshua's life for the children of Israel. When you read Joshua, you see so many just astounding things. I mean, right from the get-go, right, where just like the miracles were just right there, just like when they came out of Egypt, when they came from the wilderness to the promised land, many great signs and miracles. Like they, when they came out first, he had the Ark of the Covenant being carried by the priests, the Levites. He said, okay, you guys go first. As soon as their feet touched the Jordan, the water stopped flowing. And they could walk over on dry land. As soon as they all got across, the waters flowed again. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know, what did Jesus Christ did? Or do? He did many great signs, miracles, and wonders to show one thing, that God was with him wherever he went. Not that he was God, but that God was with him. When it says in Matthew, they shall call him Emmanuel, it means God is with us. Well, his name was Jehovah is Salvation also. That was his name. They didn't name him God is with us. They didn't name us Jehovah, he is Jehovah. He said Jehovah is Salvation. That's his name. Okay? Anytime in Joshua, you'll read it several times. When God encourages Joshua, he says, and you do this and you will know that I am with you. You'll be able to say, God is with us. And they say it many times. God's with us. And they also know when God wasn't with them. Because there's a couple times when they blow it, they don't do it how God says to do it, and God can't help them. The emphasis is that when Joshua did what the Lord God told him to do, everything worked fine. We look at the life of Jesus Christ. When he always did the Father's will, right? He always accomplished the Father's will. He always spoke the Father's words. Everything went exactly according to plan. And we now have the great benefit. We have it. You see? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Joshua led them into the promised land so that they could obtain their inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, verse 10, we'll start there in Ephesians chapter 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. Just like Israel went into the promised land to obtain their inheritance, we have obtained through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, an inheritance. We have obtained it. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. In other words, God gets His way. Sooner or later, God prevails. And it's always good. It's always good. You read through Joshua, God always got His way. I'm going to give you this land. I don't care how much everybody's fighting and screaming and crying. I'm going to get you this land. It's yours. I have given it to you. I have prepared it for you. God always gets His way. We have obtained an inheritance. Okay. Look at 2 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." He always causes us to triumph. The New King James, or the new International Version reads, "Who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ." When the people followed Joshua's lead, going over into the promised land, they always had the victory. He always led them into victory. It is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who has led us into victory. He always leads us in a triumphal procession. You know, and that draws you back to their time period when Corinthians was written. You know, in that time period and before that, you know, whenever they would win a battle, they would come back from winning a battle and they would lead their captives through a triumphant, you know, the victors would come and their captives would be behind them in chains. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ always leads us in a triumphal procession. We are no longer the captives. Just like the children of Israel when they followed Joshua, they were led into victory. Right from the get-go, from taking Jericho. How did they take Jericho? Remember the record? They did exactly what the angel told Joshua to do. Right, you read through it, you read the record of the angel that shows up in front of Joshua before they go into Jericho. He's just standing there one day and sees this man with a sword stretched out. And Joshua looks at him and says, are you on our side or their side? He said, I'm on the Lord's side, my friend. I come from the Lord of hosts. He says, now, get up and let's do some business. You want me to fight for you? Do it this way. And he goes to Jericho and they march around the city. They march around the walls once a day for 7 days, right? And then on the seventh day, all right, make as loud a noise as you can. Here we go. Come on, trumpets. Here we go. They take the city. The walls come tumbling down. God at work. They didn't have to lift one sword. Of course, they did later because God tells them everything, everything is wiped out. You wipe out everything except Rahab, the harlot, yeah, the innkeeper. You just take her because she hid the spies. She can live and her family. As long as they followed Joshua, they had the victory. As long as we follow our Lord and Savior, we have the victory. We have the victory. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 3 says, For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to accomplish. They're not hard to do. That which He's given to us is not hard. The law, all of the law of the Old Testament, that was hard to keep. But the commandments that we have to walk in love, to keep God first in our lives, not hard. To believe on the name of the Son of God, not hard. They're not grievous. 4 verse 4 says, Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How do we get the victory? By believing. By having faith in these promises that God has made. That's how we obtain the victory. That's how we can continue to go in those triumphant processions. We are always victorious. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, right? That's what it says in Romans. That's the promise of God. The promise of God to Israel was, you guys follow Joshua. I'll tell Joshua. Just like I told Moses, I'll tell Joshua. And you follow him and everything will be fine. We have the same encouragement today, only that which is instructed for us to do and to believe is a lot easier than fighting some big, hairy, monstrosity guy with big, huge swords. We don't have to fight that physical fight anymore. It's been fought. It has been won. We simply follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we will always have the victory. That's a promise to us. You know, is that complicated? No, God couldn't have spelled it out any simpler for us. He gave us all those great examples in the Old Testament to look at. They're for our learning, it says in the Word. All these things written aforetime, all the things written before this administration of grace that we live in, all those things are written for our learning. So that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We have hope that what God has said pertaining to us will come to pass. Not only now, but when the Lord returns. That's when we will obtain our true inheritance, when the Lord returns. Because our inheritance is a lot more than just earth. Our inheritance has to do with the heavenly places. It's a very simple thing to realize and a very simple thing to make real in our lives. Because the principles don't change any. You know, you look back at Joshua and the children of Israel going from a wilderness. They had their needs met, but nothing real special. They were eating manna every day. And it wasn't until they got into the promised land that the manna stopped. And then they could eat of the fruits of the land. Where do we want to eat? Where would you like to dine? Do you want to dine here? Or do you want to dine in the heavenlies? It's up to you. It's open to you. The invitation is open. He's made us His sons and daughters. Jehovah has established His great salvation in your life. He has made you His child. He has invited you to come and to dwell with Him, to live with Him. All you need to do is believe. Just have that kind of faith that this really is true. You know, when those believers of Israel heard Joshua say, okay, God has given this to us. He's given the land to us. We're just going to go and take it now. You know, God's made promises to us. He's promised you this. This is yours now. Now what do you need to do? You need to believe it and take it. They had to believe it. And maybe sometimes some of them had to work their brains a little bit. Well, you think we can really take those guys on? There are a bunch of them. And they're big. And they're mean. And they're nasty. And they're warriors, and we're not. We've been running around a wilderness for 40 years figuring out what manna is supposed to be. We know we can eat it, but what is it? I don't know. But they were far from warriors. You see the parallels. They point toward what we have. And the principles are still the same. We believe what our Lord says. We follow. We believe it. And we allow Him to lead us into victory. We allow Him to do it. We choose to follow. Okay, Lord, I'll do it Your way. I will trust You. These are great things. I know that there's a great deal to learn from Joshua. I want you to look at Titus chapter 3. And we'll close here. You know, because this is really what the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has to do with. Verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived." Verse 3:3 of Titus. "Serving divers lusts," you know, different desires and pleasures. All about, you know, flesh, five senses. "Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Isn't that who we used to be? I mean, maybe we didn't have all of those items on our resume. You know, right? Yes, Don Granero, unbeliever. Accomplishments. I've been a fool. I've disobeyed the Almighty God. I've allowed the devil to deceive me. I've served my own pleasures and over desires. I have a lot of malice in my heart, a lot of envy. I am a hateful, hating fellow. Please hire me, because I can do the job for you. If that's the kind of job you need done. I mean, we may not have all had all of those things on our resume, but maybe one or two. And yet, verse 4 says, after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, He saved us by giving us a new birth, being born again. It is the cleansing of the new birth that He has provided to us, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is the salvation of Jehovah to us. So, Father, thanks for Your blessings. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank You, God, that He has done so much to bless our lives and make our lives right. We're grateful for Your grace and Your mercy for having accomplished for us what we could not do. Thank You, Father, for Your kindness and Your love to us in sending Your Son. And we're grateful that He has established Your wonderful salvation for each of us who believe in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? Okay. God bless you guys.